content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you would like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in this program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well, both digital and cassette, mostly digital these days. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you are not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of May and June 2017 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. We begin this program with Rushing Waters by Danielle Steele. Danielle Steele fearlessly tackles a catastrophe and its aftermath with characters who are joined together by accident and then share their vulnerabilities, regrets, losses, and hopes. Hurricane Ophelia is bearing down on New York City, and in a matter of hours, six people, along with their families, friends, and millions of other New Yorkers living around them, will be caught up in the horrific flooding it unleashes. Ellen Wharton has flown into New York from London, regardless of the weather, and her husband's worry. The successful interior designer is intent on seeing her lively architect mother and has an important personal appointment to keep. But despite Ellen's urging, when the storm hits, 74-year-old Grace Madison refuses to leave her Tribeca apartment in the midst of the evacuation zone, and they must eventually wade through chest-high water to the police boats outside. British investment banker Charles Williams is traveling on business, but is also eager to see his young daughters who live with his beautiful, estranged ex-wife in Soho. Desperate to find them, he checks the shelters where thousands have taken refuge and runs into Ellen and her mother. Juliette Dubois, a dedicated ER doctor, fights to save lives when the generators at her hospital fail. NYU students Peter Holbrook and Ben Weiss, living in a shabby downtown walk-up, are excited by the adventure of the approaching hurricane, refuse to evacuate, and settle in with junk food and beer until their building threatens to collapse. Should they swim for it or not? A day of chaos takes its toll. Lives, belongings, and loved ones are swept away. Heroes are revealed as the city and New Yorkers struggle to face a natural disaster of epic proportions. And then the real challenge begins as the survivors face their futures with damage to repair and scars to heal. Keenly observed and brilliantly told, this is an unforgettable story that proves that while life can change in an instant, even the darkest storm can bring forth courage, resilience, unexpected joy, and new life. And it reminds us all that nature, at its fiercest, is a powerful force nothing and no one can resist. That book is called Rushing Waters, and it's by the popular author Danielle Steele. One of the most popular books during the months of May and June at the North Carolina Library for the Blind was a Western called 40 Times a Killer by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Now, they are sometimes called the greatest Western writers of the 21st century. William Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone are the acclaimed masters of the American frontier and national bestsellers as well. Now they take on the deadliest and most feared outlaw to ever walk the Old West, John Wesley Hardin. First, He became a killer, and then he became a legend. He was 15 when he killed his first man. Before his murderous ways ended, Hardin killed 42 men in cold blood. One, the legend goes, because he snored too loudly. From then on, John Wesley Hardin stayed true to his calling, killing man after man after man, spending most of his life being pursued by both local lawmen and federal troops. Hardin lived a fevered dream of lightning, fast draws, and flying lead. By the age of 17, Hardin earned a deadly reputation for cold-blooded killing that drew traitors, backstabbers, and wannabe gunslingers, all for a chance to gun down the man who had turned killing into an all-American legend. Very, very popular book in the last couple of months at the Library for the Blind. I think you might enjoy it if you like westerns in particular. 40 Times a Killer by William W. Johnstone and J.A. Johnstone. Now let's move on to our next book for this month. It is called Apprentice in Death by J.D. Robb. Lieutenant Eve Dallas returns in a fast-paced new novel from number one New York Times bestselling author J.D. Robb, Nature versus Nurture. The shots came quickly, silently, and with deadly accuracy. Within seconds, three people were dead at Central Park's ice skating rink. The victims, a talented young skater, a doctor, and a teacher. As random can be. Eve Dallas has seen a lot of killers during her time with the New York Police Department, but never one like this. After reviewing security videos, it becomes clear that the victims were killed by a sniper firing a tactical laser rifle, who could have been miles away when the trigger was pulled. And though the locations where the shooter could have set up seem endless, the list of people with that particular skill set is finite. Police, military, a professional killer. Eve's husband, Rourke, has unlimited resources and genius, too, at his disposal. And when his computer program leads Eve to the location of the sniper, she learns a shocking fact. There were two, one older, one younger. Someone is being trained by an expert in the science of killing, and they have an agenda. Central Park was just a warm-up. And as another sniper attack shakes the city to its core, Eve realizes that though we've all shaped by the people around us, we're all shaped by the people around us, there are those who are just born evil. This sounds like a real page-turner to me. It's called Apprentice in Death by J.D. Robb. Boy, sometimes the books that we talk about on this program sound like watching the evening news, don't they? But you know that mysteries are just great, great stories. That's why the bookstores are so full of them, and so many are written every single year. Here's another one that was very popular during the month of June. It's called Turbo 23, and it's by very popular writer Janet Ivanovich. We report on a lot of her books on this program. In the heart of Trenton, New Jersey, a killer is out to make sure someone gets his just desserts. Larry Virgil skipped out on his latest court date after he was arrested for hijacking an 18-wheeler full of premium bourbon. Now, fortunately for bounty hunter Stephanie Plum, Larry is just stupid enough to attempt almost the exact same crime again. Only this time he flees the scene, leaving behind a freezer truck loaded with Bogart ice cream and a dead body, frozen solid and covered in chocolate and chopped pecans. Well, as fate would have it, Stephanie's mentor and occasional employer, Ranger, needs her to go undercover at the Bogart factory to find out who's putting their employees on ice and sabotaging the business. It's going to be hard for Stephanie to keep her hands off all that ice cream, and even harder for her to keep her hands off Ranger. It's also going to be hard to explain to Trenton's hottest cop, Joe Morelli, why she is spending late nights with Ranger, late nights with Lula and Randy Briggs, who are naked and afraid, and late nights keeping tabs on Grandma Mazur and her new fella. Stephanie Plum has a lot on her plate, but for a girl who claims to have virtually no marketable skills, these are the kinds of sweet assignments that she does best. Sounds like another good one by Janet Ivanovich, Turbo 23. Boy, I tell you something, James Patterson really started something when he created this concept of book shots. We have had at least several of these book shot books on the top 10 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind for, oh gosh, probably the last 6 months or longer that he has been doing these. Book shots are what James Patterson created and calls lightning-fast stories. They're novels that you can devour in a few hours. It's impossible to stop reading them, and it's all original content from James Patterson, and in some cases, as Patterson does, another author as well. But usually the printed books are, oh gosh, anywhere from maybe 140 to 170 pages or something like that, and you can probably listen to them in a couple of hours. So anyway, this month, I only go into that explanation in case you haven't heard them before, but this month we've got three books that were in the top 10. And they are these book shots by James Patterson. The first one is an Alex Cross book. It starts out, it's called Cross Kill. And the information starts out with, Alex Cross, I'm coming for you, even from the grave if I have to. Well, along came a spider killer, Gary Sonji, has been dead for over 10 years. Alex Cross watched him die, but today Cross saw him gun down his partner. Is Sonji alive? Is he a ghost? Or something even more sinister? Nothing will prepare you for the wicked truth. And I have to confess, I have read this one myself, and it's a good one. Along Came a Spider, I think, was Patterson's very first book. So it was a good one, and this bookshot follow-up to it is very good as well. So that's one of them. The next bookshot that was very popular by Patterson is Killer Chef. And the lead on this little promo here is Eat, Drink, and Be Murdered. Someone is poisoning diners in New Orleans' best restaurants, and now it's up to chef and homicide cop Caleb Rooney to catch a killer who has an appetite for revenge. Who other than James Patterson could come up with a combination chef and homicide cop? Nobody, I don't think. And then the third one that was very popular in the past month or so is another book shot called Chase, a Michael Bennett Story. This was no suicide, says Detective Michael Bennett. A man plunges to his death from the roof of a Manhattan hotel. It looks like a suicide, except the victim has someone else's fingerprints and $10,000 in cash. Enter Detective Michael Bennett, and he's one that that you hear from time to time from James Patterson. So three book shots. They're quick and easy to listen to as well as quick and easy to read, and I think you'll enjoy them. They were, once again, one of them was called Cross Kill. The other was called The Killer Chef. And the third one was called Chase, a Michael Bennett Story. Now let's move on to a book by the author Fern Michaels. This is one entitled What You Wish For. Best-selling romantic suspense writer Michaels delivers another gripping plot, though it's easy to detect predictable dramatic devices in the story of Helen Ward, a physically abused wife who finally stands up for herself and sets off for a better life. While beating Helen one night, her husband Daniel finally pushes her too far when he kicks her beloved dog, Lucy. Helen retaliates by bashing him with a fireplace poker. Fleeing their house in a California suburb, Helen finds refuge in a veterinary hospital where she meets Dr. Gerald Davis, who immediately recognizes that Helen needs help as much as Lucy does. He calls local heiress and animal lover Isabel Tiger, who places Helen in a top-secret women's shelter. Much like a participant in the Federal Witness Protection Program, Helen assumes an alias and relocates to New Jersey. Now called Nancy Baker, Helen thrives in her new identity. She establishes an internet lingerie shop, attends night school, and falls for a handsome neighbor and fellow dog lover, Sam Tolliver. As their relationship grows, Nancy longs to tell Sam the truth about her past, defying the first rule of the program. When her online connection to Tiger's program is interrupted, Nancy suspects her vengeful husband has finally found her. She is further depressed to learn she has been legally declared dead, thus making divorce impossible. Returning to California suggests all kinds of dangers, but Helen, Nancy, refuses to be a victim this time. Michael's celebration builds up enough tension to fuel this contemporary novel, but an O.J. Simpson-style car chase gives way to a disappointingly quick climax. Fans will fill up on Michael's direct prose in one sitting, while others may find it only a light snack, but it sounds like a pretty doggone good snack to me. What You Wish For by Fern Michaels. The next book we're going to take a look at on Heard Any Good Books Lately is a book entitled Below the Belt by Stuart Woods. He's very popular with listeners to the programs from the Library for the Blind, and we have a couple of books, I think, by him on this program. Stone Barrington lands in hot water in the new adventure from the celebrated author of more than 50 New York Times best-selling novels, Stuart Woods. Newly ensconced in his Santa Fe abode with a lovely female companion, Stone Barrington receives a call from an old friend requesting a delicate favor. A situation has arisen that could escalate into an explosive quagmire, and only someone with Stone's stealth and subtlety can contain the damage. At the center of these events is an impressive gentleman whose star is on the rise and who'd like to get Stone in his corner. He's a charming and ambitious and has friends in high places, too, the kind of man who seems to be a sure bet. But in the fickle circles of power, fortunes rise and fall on the turn of a dime, and it may turn out that Stone holds the key not just to one man's fate, but to the fate of the nation. Again, that is called Below the Belt by Stuart Woods. And I mentioned that we had another Stuart Woods book that was popular during the months of May and June, so why wait? I'll tell you about that right now, too. From number one best-selling author Stuart Woods comes an extraordinary new series starring an old fan favorite whose name was Teddy Fay. You may recognize that if you've read Woods in the past. Here's the plot. When President Kate Lee calls Stone Barrington to Washington on an urgent matter, it's soon clear that a potentially disastrous situation requires the kind of help more delicate than even he can provide. And he knows just the right man for the job. Teddy Fay, ex-CIA, master of disguise, and a gentleman not known for abiding by legal niceties in the pursuit of his own brand and of justice. That's another book by Stuart Woods. It's called Smooth Operator. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service, brought to you by the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, and the Friends Organization, specifically, of that wonderful library. Thanks for joining me today. I'm George Douglas. We'll continue with a book called Bay of Sighs. It is number two in the Guardians trilogy by Nora Roberts. To celebrate the rise of their new queen, three goddesses of the moon created stars, one of fire, one of ice, one of water. But then they fell from the sky, putting the fate of all worlds in danger, and now three women and three men joined forces to pick up the pieces. Mermaid Annika is from the sea, and it is there she must return after her quest to find the stars. New to this world, her purity and beauty are nothing less than breathtaking, along with her graceful athleticism, as her five new friends discovered when they retrieved the Fire Star. Now, through space and time, traveler Sawyer King has brought the Guardians to the island of Capri, where the Water Star is hidden. And as he watches Annika in her element, he finds himself drawn to her joyful spirit. But Sawyer knows that if he allows her into his heart, no compass could ever guide him back to solid ground. And in the darkness, their enemy broods. She lost one star to the Guardians, but there is still time for blood to be spilled. The mermaids in the water and the travelers on the land. For she has forged a dangerous new weapon, something deadly and unpredictable, something human. This is a fascinating trilogy. We've read a summary of the first one of this trilogy, the Bay of, it was not called the Bay of Sighs. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it was just fascinating. And it's by the author Nora Roberts. This particular one I read was Bay of Sighs. Here's another good one that everybody liked last month by Danielle Steele. This one's called The Apartment. Four young women's lives intersect in the apartment they've shared in Hell's Kitchen. Claire, a shoe designer, Abby, an aspiring novelist, Morgan, a successful financial consultant, and Sasha, a resident in obstetrics. As different as they are from one another, the women had become a family by choice. But while their lives had proceeded smoothly in the years they'd lived together, new relationships, job opportunities, and surprising circumstances will test the strength of their bond in an in and outside the loft that had become their home. The book is called The Apartment, and it's by Danielle Steele. This next book is called The Fixer, and it's by Joseph Finder. Here's the plot. When former investigative reporter Rick Hoffman loses his job, fiancé, and apartment, his only option is to move back into and renovate the home of his miserable youth, now empty and in decay, since the stroke that put his father in a nursing home. As Rick starts to pull apart the old house, he makes an electrifying discovery. Millions of dollars hidden in the walls. It's enough money to completely transform Rick's life and everything he thought he knew about his father. Yet the more of his father's hidden past that Rick brings to light, the more dangerous his present becomes. Soon he finds himself on the run from deadly enemies, desperate to keep the past buried, and only solving the mystery of his father, a man who has been unable to communicate, comprehend, or care for himself for almost 20 years. We'll save Rick if he can survive long enough to do it. That's called The Fixer, and it's by Joseph Finder. Now let's turn to another fascinating book by the author Lincoln Child, whom we've talked about quite a bit on this program in the past. This is a book called The Forgotten Room. Jeremy Logan, who was a character in The Third Gate and Deep Storm, by the way, two other books by Child, Jeremy Logan is an enigmologist. That's an investigator who specializes in analyzing phenomena that have no obvious explanation. Well, in this newest novel, Logan finds himself on the storied coastline of Newport, Rhode Island, where he has been retained by Lux, one of the oldest and most respected think tanks in America. That's Lux, L-U-X. Just days earlier, a series of frightening events took place in the sprawling seaside mansion that houses the organization. One of its most distinguished doctors began acting erratically, violently attacking an assistant in the mansion's opulent library, and, moments later, killing himself in a truly shocking fashion. Well, terrified by the incident and the bizarre evidence left behind, the group hires Logan to investigate discreetly what drove this erudite man to absolute madness. His work leads him to an unexpected find. In a long-dormant wing of the estate, Logan uncovers an ingeniously hidden secret room, concealed and apparently untouched for decades. The room is a time capsule, filled with eerie and obscure scientific equipment that points to a top-secret project long thought destroyed, known only as Project S. Ultimately, the truth of what Project S was and what has happened in that room will put Logan in the path of a completely unexpected danger. One of his most thrilling novels to date, The Forgotten Room, is replete with veiled, fascinating history and all the exhilarating action and science that are the hallmarks of a Lincoln Child blockbuster. And I think I have time for one more book before we close this program. This book is called Truth or Die, and it's by, he's back, James Patterson, along with Howard Ruffin. This is one of the longer books, not the short book shots that we talked about earlier. Here's the plot for this one, Truth or Die. After a serious professional stumble, attorney Trevor Mann may have finally hit his stride. He's found happiness with his girlfriend, Claire Parker, a beautiful, ambitious journalist, always on the hunt for a scoop. But when Claire's newest story leads to a violent confrontation, Trevor's newly peaceful life is shattered as he tries to find out why. Chasing Claire's leads, Trevor unearths evidence of a shocking secret that, if it actually exists, every government and terrorist organization around the world would do anything to possess it. Suddenly, it's up to Trevor, along with a teenage genius who gives new meaning to the phrase too smart for his own good, to make sure that secret does not fall into the wrong hands. But Trevor is about to discover that good and evil can look a lot alike, and nothing is ever black and white, not even the truth. And that is just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search for North Carolina Library for the Blind, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-388-2460. Again, that's 1-888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, and it is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time.